May that peace of our loving Savior fill our hearts and minds today as we celebrate and give thanks, but also spread the fellowship, the koinonia, as his word says in Greek, with one another, both inside the church and outside the church. The verse I want to challenge you to memorize this week is, it's not too long, it's on the inside of the bulletin. If you open it up, I would like to have you read it with me this morning as we get started. And I had Mary underline and bold the word found because Philip really couldn't wait to let Nathanael know not what he'd found, but who he had found. He had found the Messiah, the promised one. So let's read this verse together. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip knew that the Israelites had been waiting a long time. They'd been seeking and waiting and for the Messiah to come. And he finally gets to say, "We found him, the one we've been waiting for." And I read a pretty awesome story about a lady named Tammy Harris. She had turned 21. She lived in Roanoke, Virginia. And she had decided really that during that year that she wanted to find her birth mother. She had been put up for adoption as a baby, and it really, the search was going on about a year. And she was talking to one of her, she worked in this convenience store, and she was talking to one of her coworkers about it, and this other lady that worked there, her name was Joyce Schultz, she kind of overheard the conversation, and she said, "Yeah, I've been trying to find my daughter that I put up for adoption 21 years ago." And as they began to talk and compare notes, they eventually realized that they were indeed mother and daughter and had been working in the same convenience store all along, all that time, and did not know it. It makes me think how sometimes that happens with us. We are seated right next to people that we have a deep bond of fellowship with, and sometimes we don't really appreciate the depth of that bond. So take a look at the person you're bonded to, not necessarily your spouse if you're here with, or even your kids. I want you to look in front of you or behind you or even across the aisle or way over, you guys way over there on the west side, you can look at everybody over here on the east side, Easter siders, you can look at the western siders over there and say, you have this amazing bond with each other. And today we're going to give thanks for that bond. In Greek, the word is koinonia, and I put it there in the sermon notes, spelled K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. And we have this common bond, or koinonia, and it was the Greek word for, and I had to ask some of the German speakers, so Pastor, I can ask you, I guess, today. In German, when you say Plot Deutsch, what does that mean? Yeah, it's like the everyday, he said low German, kind of the everyday common language. And koine, when I studied Greek, we studied koine Greek, which meant it was the everyday language, because the New Testament was written in Greek. So that's the same word we get koinonia from. So it means this sense of a common bond that all believers in Jesus Christ have. And that's really what we're going to celebrate today. In the early church, when they heard that word koinonia, as the early Christians, they would have thought immediately of that deep relationship, that bond that they have with each other as fellow believers in Christ. Of course, you know, that church was a time of great persecution for them too, and I mean, they had to be very fearful for their life. It's funny how sometimes adversity strengthens that bond, doesn't it? But it's not something we want to take for granted. So we really want to ask the Spirit to help us grow in that bond of fellowship, in that relationship. And so whatever word you want to use, you can use the Greek word koinonia. But for them, it was about relationship. For us, most often today, we probably use the word fellowship. But it's not just, you know, hanging out by the coffee pot and enjoying the good treats that are out there. That certainly is a way to have fellowship. But when Scripture uses the word fellowship, this word koinonia, it does mean that bond that we have together, brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's look at that today. I want to talk about three different things that we hold in common that bind us together as fellow believers. So the first one we're going to look at is our inheritance. And by the way, I should mention that what I'm going to talk about here, it's not just about feeling, you know, like we like hanging out with each other. It's not just about feelings. These are facts. That one of the things that unites me to you and you to me is we have a common inheritance because we're part of the same family. And you know how that works sometimes. If someone in a family passes away, oftentimes they'll pass on their inheritance down to the family, to the next generation. And Paul says, well, you know what that inheritance is that you have? And it's the same inheritance that I have? He says it's grace. And if you see the verse underneath that, Philippians 1:7, Paul wrote and he said, all of you, share in God's grace with me. And I can say that to all of you. And you know what? You can say that to me. And you can say that to each other too. All of us together, we share in this common inheritance of God's grace. And grace is a pretty tiny word, but it's really filled with wonderful things. Grace means all of God's undeserved love, mercy, forgiveness that he gives to you and me as a gift. I don't deserve that inheritance, but Jesus gives it to me anyway. In fact, none of us do. It is a gift of God's grace, his mercy, and all that that means for us. But you know what? Scripture doesn't stop there. It says the bond of what we share, what we hold in common as fellow believers in Jesus Christ goes deeper in that too. We also have a sense of a common service that God has given to us. So when we talk about grace or inheritance, that's something that we receive from God. This next one says we also have something in common, what we give out. What God has given to us to then in turn give out and share with others. And, you know, as in our mission statement, we've captured it this way. We say, we, Messiah Lutheran Church, we celebrate, but we also share, we give out Christ's love, hope, and peace to all people. And we start here with our fellow believers, but it doesn't stop here. This is just the starting place. Then it's to spread out. And that'll take us to the next thing that unites us together, too. But I want you to read this verse with me. Last week I shared with you that I love in Acts 2 how God gets out his paintbrush and paints a beautiful portrait of the Christian church. So let's read Acts 2, 44 and 45 together. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And it says they were all together. I did a word search on one of these online Bibles, and I just typed in the word together. And in the ESV, which is the Bible we have in here, the word together is in the Bible 339 times. 97 times just in the New Testament alone. So togetherness is pretty important to God, this fellowship, this koinonia that God talks about. And so we have this wonderful inheritance that God pours into our hearts and life. We also have this service that God wants to pour out through us as we share it with others. And again, the early church showed it so beautifully. I mean, they shared of their material wealth. You know, it says if somebody had a need and they say, well, maybe I can sell this and then we'll help take care of that need. You know, and really when we bring our offerings, and they're placed on the altar, that's pretty much what we're doing. We're saying, God, you blessed us with this material wealth and blessings. We want to give part of it back to you and share so that others know you the way we know you. So certainly one of the ways that we give out that blessing is with our material blessings, but that definitely doesn't stop there. We, like Philip, are also called to share of our spiritual wealth. And I want to tell every one of you sitting here today, you are tremendously wealthy. God has spiritually blessed you so greatly to know Jesus, to know the Father, to know the Spirit, who, as we heard in the epistle reading today, is dwelling right here in us. You know that. That is a pretty awesome spiritual blessing. And, you know, like I said, Philip, he couldn't wait. So he immediately takes off and he goes to find Nathanael. He says, I want you to come and see. Come and see who this Jesus is. And that's really what God is calling us to do today. All of this bells, B-E-L-L-S, it's all about doing that. Having the Spirit use us to reach out to others to say, come and see this Jesus. Because I want you to know what I know. I want you to know the love, the hope, and the peace of Jesus Christ. So we have a shared inheritance. We have a common service. And really, the next one kind of ratchets it up a little bit higher. He even says we have a common responsibility. So how many commandments are there? Somebody at early service held up two. He was going with Jesus, you know, and Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, you can summarize them all up because there's 10, you know, in the Old Testament. He says, but you can summarize the ones about God. You know, you shall have no other gods. Do not take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. With love the Lord your God. And then he said, all the rest of the commandments have to do with our relationships with each other. You can summarize those with love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a really great Bible study. We've done it here at church a while back, but it's called the 11th Commandment. And the 11th Commandment in this Bible study is the verse that you see here from John chapter 13. Let's read that together. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So the author of that Bible study, the whole Bible study is on, there's 35 different times in the New Testament where that specific phrase, one another, is used. And it goes through, a couple of each lesson. But he basically says all the other one another's emanate from this one. That's why he calls it the 11th commandment, to love one another. So when he says pray for one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, he says all of those are flowing out. All of those are ways really to put love one another into action. And say this is our common responsibility that God has given to us because we're in his family. So you have a part in the family business. You know, and like my dad would say, this is family fun. You'll like it whether you like it or not. Right? You have a responsibility. You have a part in the family business. And like I said, the way we say it is we celebrate that love, hope, and peace of Christ every Sunday when we gather here. But we also leave this place to go share the love, hope, and peace of Christ. And Jesus said the way that happens is it's through how you love one another. And he says you got to start here. You got to start in the family of God. Because he says if you don't, the world's going to see it. And they'll know something is not right. So as we love one another, you know, isn't that beautiful the way he says this? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's really where this question was. So how does eating, you know, and how does eat with one another tie into this? And I'll share with you how I believe it does. Because eating is one of the great ways we have to begin fellowship with one another. I mean, have you noticed that? How, you know, just kind of seems like walls just kind of go down. We're maybe a little less defensive, a little more open for some reason when our mouth's open. You know, when we're eating food. I think we're a little more likely to share. I think we're also more likely to hear. To hear God, certainly we want to do that. We'll talk about that next week when we talk about listen, the habit of listening, listening to God, but also listening to others. And so if you look in the sermon notes, I put this phrase here. Taking time to sit down over a meal or even a simple cup of coffee is one of the best bridge builders we have. And let me tell you, I believe the Spirit really works in those times of fellowship. He opens doors, he opens windows for us to share the gospel because we're showing somebody that we value them. We're investing time to sit down with them and to listen and to have a conversation. You know, and when I think about fellowship and koinonia, you know, all we really have to do is look at God himself in his very nature teaches us about amazing koinonia because God is Father, God is Son, God is Holy Spirit, but we call him the triune God, three in one. There's three persons of the Trinity, but there is only one God. What awesome koinonia and fellowship. And that's the God to whom we are worshiping and praising. That's the God to whom we are saying, you know what? The same Father that made me made you. The same Son that died for me died for you. The same Spirit that lives in me lives in you. We are bonded together. And so we're called to share that wonderful message, and like Philip, to go find them. And the reason I had that put in bold and underlined there in the top of the sermon notes is Philip took the initiative. So I want to challenge you, and in this little book called The Five Habits here, like I said, there's copies there on the table. Grab one as you leave if you haven't got one yet. There's only about 3 pages on this habit of eating with other people, because we already know how to eat, right? That's not rocket science, but how do we make that missional hospitality when we're sitting down with folks? And so here's the challenge, to eat with 3 people this week, at least one of whom is a member of our church family right here. So if you're having dinner with someone after church, from church, you can check that one off already. But I encourage you to make it missionally hospitable. But the second one, the second challenge is, he says, the author of this, and it's Michael Frost, he says, I challenge you to sit down with someone who is not a Christian. Not just not a member of our church, but somebody who is close to you, but far away from God. And so maybe somebody that, maybe you know them because you interact with them every week, but maybe you don't really know them because you've never taken the opportunity to sit down and break bread with them. Seize and seek those opportunities this week. And then the third one, he says, could be anybody. But he challenged us to sit down and have a meal, a cup of coffee, donut, with 3 people this week for the sake of the gospel. So I want to close and tell you a story that you're very, very familiar with. It's one of the most familiar parables that Jesus told in the New Testament. It's the parable of the lost son. Or sometimes it's called the two lost sons, you know, or the prodigal son. But I want to tell you about it in the movie Jesus of Nazareth. If you've ever seen it, maybe you remember how the director depicted the scene. It's taking place in Matthew's house. You know Matthew, the author of the Gospel of Matthew. Well, Matthew was also called Levi, and before the Lord called him, he was a tax collector, which meant he was kind of a scum. To be really blatantly, brutally honest with you, I mean, the IRS, I hope nobody works with the IRS here today. I don't want to offend anybody today, but, you know, I mean, they seem not to be our favorite people because it's kind of a tough thing for us, but it's nothing today compared to them, because they were cheats. They would cheat people, and, you know, and so when Jesus, he was going to have a meal at Matthew's house, and of course, we often read this because it says, literally, you know, the Pharisees were grumbling and complaining because he was going to eat with sinners. But in the movie, they don't focus so much on the fact that it was the Pharisees who had a problem with Jesus eating with Matthew and the other sinners, but also how some of the disciples wrestled with it, in particular, Peter. And Peter is like, you know, they're like, well, Jesus, you shouldn't go eat with them, because not only Matthew, but all those other friends and stuff, they're all sinners too. And that's not going to look very good. And it made me think about that bottle that Sharla had with the kids, that we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. And sometimes the longer we sit, the more separated we get. And we don't even interact with somebody outside of the church. And I had to laugh at myself and say, gee, I wonder where God's going to shake up my life so I can get out there, you know, and be in the world but not of the world. So I want you to think about that while I tell you the story today. So in the movie, Peter, he won't even go into the house. In fact, he's outside the courtyard, even on the very edge of the courtyard. But he can hear Jesus in Matthew's house talking. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. And he tells the story of the two sons. And if you remember the story, you know, the young son said, Dad, I can't wait for you to die, so give me my inheritance now. And he says, I want to go do what I want to do, and away he goes. And of course, you know, the story goes, he blows it all in pretty wild living. And then a famine comes, and the only job he can get is feeding pigs. And he's so hungry, he he's actually eating the pig slop. And he kind of says he comes to his senses and he says, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go back to Dad's house. And I can say, Dad, I don't even deserve to be your son anymore. But at least make me one of your servants. You know, then I can have a place to live and at least get some food. And, of course, you know, the story is while he's still a long way off, remember what happens? The dad has been waiting and watching the whole time. He runs out to him and, you know, gives him a big hug. And the son kicks into his speech, Dad, I'm not worthy. I've sinned against God and you. And, I mean, he can't even hardly get those words out of his mouth. And Dad says, forget that. We're having a party. Go get the robe. Go get the family ring. Get the sandals. Kill the fatted calf. We're having a big feast and party. And then the older son comes back and he's like, what's going on here? And while Jesus, in the movie version of this, Jesus of Nazareth, gets to this part, he's looking over at the Pharisees, and he's talking, and he says, well, we had to celebrate because this son of yours was lost. And in the movie, he turns now, and he looks out through the doorway at Peter, standing off in the distance. And he looks right at him, looks right at Peter, not the Pharisees anymore. Peter, follower of Jesus, he looks right at him and says, we had to celebrate. Because this son of yours was lost, and now he's found. So Peter starts to, tears come in his eye. And he walks into the house, and first he walks up to Jesus, and he says, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And the scene ends with Peter going over to Matthew, Levi, and putting his hand on his shoulder. Fellowship. Koinonia. That's the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the relationship, though, that God wants us to share. So let me ask you today, this week, who will be your Nathaniel? With whom will you eat? Amen. And may the Spirit bless us as we share that peace of God that is even beyond our human understanding. Amen.